Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. Oh, what a privilege. And it's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then our friends over at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. Excuse me. Little drainage there. But then we have our friends over at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to come together, to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, if you had the chance to join us last week, you know that the portrait of God that I'm focusing in on for the next few weeks is how He is our chief shepherd. As you know, if you're a regular listener, all of my messages have to do with a portrait of God, because the scriptures, when I read them, I see portraits of God everywhere. It gives me a glimpse of His heart, of His character. That is what He wants. He wants us to get to know Him intimately and thoroughly and deeply. And that way we can spot His voice amidst all the other crazy voices out in this world and internal voices. We can spot His voice to the degree we know Him and His character and His heart. And oh, I'll tell you, this particular portrait, well, they're all great, but this one, I'm just being so blessed by walking through how He is our chief shepherd, which we just began last week, and we'll probably be in it another week or two, maybe three, I don't know. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Psalm 23 in a moment. And as you're making your way there, just a reminder that these messages, these radio messages, 27 minutes, are all archived on my website. That's markpg.org. markpg.org. Philip Gonzalez, what that stands for. markpg.org. And along with the archives of these radio broadcasts, you'll also see another gray box that has videos on there, and those are portraits of God, 3-minute devotional portraits of God you can find on our YouTube channel. Also, there's a box that has articles, another box that has quick guides for all kinds of topics, all of them designed to do one thing: help you hear God. So I hope you'll check out the website and over at markpg.org. Well, as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Father, I'm just so blessed, so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters via the airways, via the computers, you know, and smartphones and all those things, and just be able to sit at Your feet and listen for Your heart. So, Father, as we get ready to walk through this portrait of how You are our chief shepherd, oh, I pray we will receive it and see how gracious and tender You are with us. There's so much here, and we're so grateful. So thank You for the journeys we get to make through Your love letters to us to see these portraits of You and how much You love us. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, for those of you that are note takers, as you know, if you've been with us, I like to give you some takeaways, clear takeaways, regarding these portraits. We have 10. We've covered 2. First, we looked at how the Lord, our chief shepherd, number one, will come for us. He will come for us. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd, and that's where we get our portrait name, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So He's coming again. We'll get that unfading crown of glory as He takes us home to be with Him as His own. And by the way, I mentioned last time, as we unpacked this particular verse, that the idea of Him being our chief shepherd is significant, because the context is talking about elders and We also have the concept of pastors. We have the concept of overseers and teachers and stuff, all shepherding the flock of God. But we're under shepherds. Whichever of the titles you may or may not have, doesn't matter. But we're shepherding as under shepherds the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he uses us, as a chief shepherd uses us as under shepherds to touch hearts in his name. Then we went on to number two. And number two was how the chief shepherd, number two, guards our souls. He guards our souls. There in 1 Peter, we back up to chapter 2, verse 25, where it says, "For you are continually straying like sheep." Like the old hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I see it, I feel it, prone to see the one I love. Come thy fount of every blessing." We're prone to wander. We're prone to wander. So this is saying, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." So he guards our souls. That's such a comforting thought. And by the way, this particular passage is just highlighting the reality of how we tend to stray away from the ways of God. We tend to stray away from his presence. And it's dangerous out there for sheep. They can fall into ravines. They can get bitten by snakes. They can get gobbled by wolves. They can fall over on their woolly backs and not be able to get up. And we're going to talk more about that one in particular later. But we tend to stray, and it's so dangerous out there that the chief shepherd will always come, and he will have us return. He'll take his shepherd's crook, you know, and come on back, and hook us back and bring us back. Stay close. It's dangerous out there. He wants us close by his side so he can guard our souls. I love that. It's a jungle out there. It's dangerous out there. There's spiritual warfare. The enemy prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we can fall prey to that so easily. We do fall prey to that. We do stray continually like sheep. We do sinful things. The enemy seduces us. We may be saints. We're not sinners anymore. Once you're saved, you're a saint. But we're a saint who tends to sin. Sinning doesn't make you a sinner. It makes you a saint who sins, which is sad, but he will bring you back. And he will deal with what you've done or how you're acting or how you're thinking. But he'll never, never disown you. He'll never say, "Be gone from me." No. He guards our souls, and it's because we continually stray like sheep. Well, now we come to number three as we continue our journey. Psalm 23. How can we talk about the chief shepherd without going to the 23rd Psalm? So in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, oh, it just gives us a marvelous picture of how our chief shepherd loves on us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Oh, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name." All right. He restores my soul. That's number three. If you're a note taker, the chief shepherd, number one, will come for us. And number two, the chief shepherd guards our souls. But number three, he restores our souls. Now, when we've been straying like sheep and he returns us to the flock, he does more than just return us there to guard us. He's also restoring our souls. Why? Because we've damaged our souls. Whenever we do continually stray, whenever we do stray, we are doing damage to our souls. And we get more noise going on in our souls. We're bleeding in our souls. We get wounded hearts. We get broken hearts. We get damaged hearts. We're then going through life half-hearted because so much of it is damaged and all. Oh, but he restores our souls. When he returns us, when he speaks to us, when he wants to do some gentle heart surgery to restore our souls. How does he do it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, the Psalms also tell us to be still and know that I am God. Isn't it true we're living in an incredibly hectic world, a crazy world, a damaged world, an angry world, a sinful world? I mean, we are bombarded day in and day out. We're scurrying through life. We're ricocheting through life. We're fielding the fiery darts of the enemy. I mean, there's so many metaphors you can use. He's like a sniper in a tower that's shooting our hearts, you know, Dad. There's so much is going on. It's such a ravaging world and a graceless world that we live in. And that is why it's easy for us in our confusion and in our reactions to stray like sheep and to get totally, totally disconnected from that sense of intimacy with the Lord. And when we do that, our souls are being ravaged and wounded and broken and shattered and squashed. So he said, hey, come on. Let's lie down in some green pastures. Let me lead you beside quiet waters. Shh. Settle your heart. Quiet down. There's some things I want to whisper to you. I want to heal you. I want to restore you. I will restore your soul. I want to guide you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake, says the Lord. And I just love that. You know, sometimes we can fall prey to a theology that pictures God as some kind of a harsh taskmaster, some kind of a severe overseer, just watching with a scowl on his face, making sure that we don't do something that's stupid so he can fire a lightning bolt to correct us and give us a whipping or something like that. No. The Lord is our chief shepherd. And when he sees us straying away, he brings us back, but he's also going to restore our soul. You know, I have to tell you that one of the things I've had to learn over the years, in my younger years, you know, I was, you know, all about trying to be a ministry success and, you know, being impressive. You know, you fall prey to those kinds of things, that a mixed bag, and your efforts to try to be a good Christian, be a good pastor, be a good preacher, be a good teacher, be a good mentor, be a good evangelist, be a good, you know, it's a do, act, perform. I hope God is pleased. I want to really please God, and I work hard at pleasing God, you know, and pleasing others and blessing others and stuff. But that becomes a trap. The Lord never intended for us to be that driven, that performance-based, so insecure that we had to have the kudos of others. So we work hard to earn them and also find ourselves doing the same thing with the Lord. It doesn't work that way. What he wants us to do is abide in him, press into him. He wants us, John 15 uses that word abide. I love that. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Oh, beloved, what the Lord wants, he wants us as sheep to stay right by the side of his shepherd, right next to his heart. He wants us to lie down in green pastures and let him lead us beside quiet waters regularly. And in the quietness of our life and our heart, that's when we hear his deepest whispers, and that's when he heals and restores us, and that's when he strengthens us to the point that when we are out and about in this challenging and driven and graceless world, we've become so healthy in him, so guarded in him, so restored by him, that we're able to deal with all the cacophony, all of the chaos that's out there. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You're the one that's going to be that lighthouse in the darkness, because you regularly lie down in green pastures with the Lord, and you sit beside quiet water so he can speak to the depth of your soul through prayer and through the scriptures, his love letters to you. It makes you strong from the inside out in a humble and gentle way. That's why he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I am gentle and humble in heart. I want you to be that way. I will make you that way. If you lie down in green pastures and walk with me or sit with me beside quiet waters regularly. My friend, I hope you recognize that our prayer lives are not about saying prayers. It's not about doing our duties. It's not about having a bargaining session with the Lord. Hey, Lord, I'll do this if you'll do this. No, it's about getting to know his heart. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with the Lord, which is why the scripture says to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The Lord is always whispering to us, but when we let the noise of our own hearts and the noise of this world so consume us, we miss his whispers because it's too noisy. But when we lie down in green pastures and we let him lead us beside quiet waters, we quiet the noise of our heart. We get away from the noise of the world, and now the whispers can be heard and the healing can take place, and he can restore my soul to greater health so that our hearts are strong when we're out and about rather than being weak and shattered and bloody and wounded. Oh, my friend, our chief shepherd will come for us. Number two, he guards our hearts. Number three, the chief shepherd restores our souls. And number four, he rescues us constantly. He rescues us constantly. Now, this is similar to what we've been talking about, but it goes even deeper, and it's related to what we just said. But let me take you a little deeper by going to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. I love this passage. It says, seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. All right, now number two, talking about guarding our souls, 1 Peter 2 says we were continually straying like sheep. That's when we go off and we stray. We do the things that we should not be doing. That's the thing. But this one's talking about when we're hurting, when we're wounded, when we're distressed, and when we're downcast. May not be sin involved, although a lot of times the reason we're distressed and downcast is because sin done against us or sins we've committed. But the point is, here the focus is a little more on how the Lord sees us as distressed and downcast. Not straying away in rebellion, but just overwhelmed with the heartaches of life. And a downcast sheep is one that has flipped over on its back, and it's in a season when they're so woolly, they're like a turtle on their shell upside down. When a turtle is upside down on its shell and its little legs are dangling in the air, it can't get right side up. It has to be rescued by someone walking by who will flip it over and let their turtle go on its way. Well, sheep are exactly like that when they're downcast. They get so woolly and their legs are so small, when they get flipped over on their back because of, you know, rugged terrain or whatever, they can't get back on their feet. They will die in that downcast position unless a shepherd comes by and says, oh, bless your heart. Look what you've done to yourself. Let me help you get up. And of course, the sheep are afraid. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to do? I'm going to get you on your feet. And the shepherd gently but firmly flips him over and puts him on his feet. He rescues us constantly. And I'm intrigued by this Matthew 9:36 passage because it says very clearly here, seeing the clouds, he felt compassion for them. Now, can I be real honest? Sometimes, you know, I see people or churches or conventions or whatever where there's some things that they're just frustrating. You know, the spirit in which things are being shared, what is being shared, it's just frustrating, you know, and it's, you know, but yet the Lord is teaching me, son, don't get mad at him. Don't get frustrated with him. Don't write them off. Don't ignore them. Son, they're distressed and downcast. They don't know any better. They're getting themselves in this situation and they're saying these kinds of things and they're saying it in that kind of spirit because there are a lot of factors going on here, a lot of dynamics. They're works in progress. But son, See them with eyes of compassion, because they are distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. And then, if I'm not getting it, as he's reminding me of that in his whispers to me, my friends, then he says, oh, and son, and so have you been for many, many years. And he'll take me on a quick reminder trip and to my past. I'll look in the rearview mirror briefly to see, you know what? I did a lot of stupid things myself. I made a lot of mistakes. I got a lot of hurts. I got wounded, and in, out of that woundedness, I did some things I shouldn't have done. I said some things I shouldn't have said. I thought some things I shouldn't have thought. And the Lord said, was I there for you? Oh, yes, sir. You were rescuing me constantly by grace upon grace. Grace upon grace, as it says in John 1. My friends, that is when I can get my heart restored again, my soul restored again, when he's rescuing me from spiraling down to a spirit of woundedness, of hurt, of pain, even anger and frustration and despair and all these things. He says, no, I'm going to rescue you from that. And also from being critical and reactive and demeaning and condescending and patronizing. I want to rescue that, away from that. And you know what? If we get real honest, that is constantly at play between people, even within the church. And that's why this is saying how he has to rescue us. And it's constant, because the entire crowd that he saw that day was distressed and downcast like sheep. Now, this is Matthew chapter 9. Let me back you up for a moment, just a moment, to illustrate this even deeper in Matthew chapter 5, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This is so interesting. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the classic Sermon on the Mount. Years ago, when I was still pastoring at the local church level, I felt led to do a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and I had done it before, but this time, the last time I did it, was from a structural perspective. I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for 35 years, so how is this sermon structured? And I looked at how it was structured, and an amazing thing just began to dawn on me in the Lord as I looked at Matthew chapter 5. It opens up how it says that the Lord saw the multitudes, just like in Matthew 9, he saw the crowds or saw the multitudes. And he sat down, the scripture says, and he began to speak. And the first words out of his mouth, the opening section of 3 in that sermon, was the Beatitudes, is what we now call the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are they who suffer for righteousness' sake. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about distressed and downcast sheep. Why? Because that's what he sees when he looks at all of us. His compassion was the first thing that was put on display in the Sermon on the Mount. He opens with comforting them. 3 words can describe the structure of the Sermon on the Mount. Comfort, which I just described to you out of Matthew 9, now Matthew 5, and the Beatitudes. Oh, you comfort first. When you need to speak to people that are hurting first or even upset with you, first comfort them because they're distressed and downcast. See them with eyes of compassion, not as an opponent, not as a fighter, not as a problem, not as a case. They're hurting sheep. They're distressed. They're downcast. Comfort first. Second is the section when he says, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. I used to think those were exhortations. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth. But that's not what it says. It says you are. He affirms them. He's saying first he comforts, then he affirms. You know what? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. I made you that way. You're reflecting my light to the world. You're giving the spice to life. That is a good thing. That is who you are. Now live like who you already are. I created you. I recreated you at salvation to be lights of the world and salt of the earth. It's an affirmation. So we affirm people. When you're going to have a tough conversation with somebody, first, you comfort them. because they're hurting and may not even realize to the degree they're hurting. Secondly, you affirm them. Boy, you are a good friend. I really appreciate you. I can see you have great intentions. However, then you get to section three, which is section three of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the reveal. You have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, but I say to you. And it's on and on and on. And then he goes deeper and shows the reveal of how we're really struggling. You don't see it, but he doesn't reveal until first he comforts, then he affirms, then he reveals. That's how he rescues us constantly, my friend. And that's how he wants to use us as under shepherds to help rescue others who are in constant need of rescuing, because we are distressed and downcast sheep. We are works in progress. We won't arrive until we get to glory. Oh, I love this. The Lord, our chief shepherd, will come for us one day. Number one. Number two, he guards our souls. Number three, he restores our souls. And number four, the chief shepherd rescues us constantly. Wow. Lord, I'm just so grateful for that. I am so grateful. I know my own neediness. I don't have my act totally together, never will, until I get to glory with you. So thank you for being my chief shepherd and our chief shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, keep discovering the depth of your chief shepherd.